Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, King of my life, Lord, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is November the 9th, 2021, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We hope that you have enjoyed a great night and have enjoyed this wonderful fall day that the Lord has given us. We pray God's blessing upon you. We hope that you and your family are doing well, and we hope that the blessings of the Lord are shining upon you. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person service. you are invited to come and be a part of the worship service of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Our services start on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning in the sanctuary of First Baptist. You are invited to come and be a part of the worship service. We invite you also to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. When you go to the Facebook page, you'll find information concerning First Baptist and the ways in which you can contribute to First Baptist. You'll also find our Sunday morning service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We go live on Facebook, and you can watch the Sunday morning service there as well. And then also there on the Facebook page, you will find the link for the Bible study. Someone asked me, why is it that each Bible study has a separate link? Well, think of it as a library. All the library books in the library does not have the same index number. Books have their own separate number. So it is with the web links for the Bible study. Each Bible study is cataloged, and it has its own separate link. That way you can go back and you can listen to three or four Bible studies at a time if you wish. So each week you have to go to the Facebook page and find the link for that particular week and for that Bible study. And you can hear that Bible study for that link. If you would like to hear other Bible studies, scroll down. You'll see other Bible studies. You can click on their links, and you can hear the Bible studies for those links as well. So we invite you to go there. You'll also find information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, and you will find various articles on our Christian religion. So we invite you to go to the Facebook page. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Don't forget to like and then share, so others will know that First Baptist is live on Facebook. As I said before, I thank you for joining us tonight. It is November the 9th. This year is moving fast. And we are in the next to the last month of this year. And we have some very interesting Bible studies that we're going to be bringing you up until the end of the year. We'll probably conclude our Bible study the week before Christmas. So we want you to hang in there with us each week, each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can be a part of the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. If you would like to call in tonight, the area code is 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call and you can be a part of the Bible study tonight. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Bible study. We pray, God, that those who are on the line tonight, those who are listening over the web, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded, will find fruit for their soul. We ask, God, that as we go into our lesson tonight, that you will lead us and guide us. Give us instruction that we may know what thus says your word. We thank you, God, for First Baptist. We thank you for each and every member of the congregation. We pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are locked behind prison bars. We ask, God, that you will move in a special way, touch in a special way, anoint them from the head to the foot, God. Let them know, God, that they are not alone in this world. God, we give you the glory tonight. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is somewhat different. We're going to approach it a little different tonight. From the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter of Matthew, we're going to use one verse, and I'm going to give you other verses as we go in this Bible study tonight. But in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter and the 13th verse, I want you to turn to that. I'll pause while you find it. That's Matthew, fifth chapter, 13th verse. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." King James says it this way, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man." Tonight, I want to talk about salt. Salt. S-A-L-T. Salt. I want to talk about salt tonight. The various names God gives his children in the Bible, such as sheep, brethren, little ones, and so forth. When Jesus gives us the name of salt, he is reminding us that we have the opportunity and the responsibility to be an influence in the world. It is interesting that these verses should follow the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus gives some qualities that ought to be present in every citizen in the kingdom. When we are possessed of these characteristics, we have to be a positive influence, and we can make a difference in the world around us. When we are living the standards of the Lord Jesus in our lives, we will be like salt and like light. Now, light is an essential quality. It enables one to see, just as a glistening limestone city sitting high on a hillside cannot be hidden, for the light comes from the walls. So the Christian who shines with the brilliance of the Lord cannot be hidden from the view of the world. In other words, your testimony will get out of you. Those around you will see it and be touched by it. And so tonight, a little different tonight. We're doing it a little different. Tonight, I want to just zero in on the idea of being called salt in this one verse. And as I say, as I go along, I'm going to give you other verses as well. People in general do not realize the importance of salt in maintaining the life and the health of their bodies. There is an exact percentage of salt always present in your bloodstream. And any great deviation from this amount can result in sickness and even death. And this is why some people can't eat salt, because it will run up your blood pressure. But there's a certain amount of salt that's already in the blood, already in the bloodstream. That's why those who are susceptible to using salt cannot use it, because you already have salt in your body. See, salt is a sustainer of other life too. For this reason, seawater will support many organisms and many more organisms than fresh water. As a preservative, it retards spoilage. Also, it is a splendid condiment, adding zest and flavor for food. So here are some scriptures I want to give you. Scriptures in the Bible say that salt is a symbol of a binding covenant. Leviticus 2:13. Salt, healing and cleansing aid. 2 Kings 2:20 and 21. A stimulant for the appetite. Job 6:6. A preservative of decay. Luke 14:34 and 35. A promoter of peace. Mark 9:50. A stimulant to your testimony. Matthew 5 and 13. Evidence of God's grace. Colossians 4 and 6. We must have these characteristics in our Christian life and in the church today. When he says ye are the salt of the earth, he's talking about not just your person, but the church itself. The church is salt. Let's examine some of the ways the church can be salt and are salt in the world today. First of all, salt has a preserving ability. Salt wards off rot and decay. It's rubbed into meat in an effort to preserve it. I remember a long time ago, I was a little boy, and the elders, my grandmother, and they would get ham, and they would pack that ham in salt, and it would sit there for a long time, and that salt would draw out all of the moisture that was in that meat, which allowed the meat to be preserved. In the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, they could have been saved by the preserving influence of just 10 righteous men. So it is in America today. I am convinced that the presence and the prayers of salty Christians have done more to preserve this country than anything else we could name. It is the righteousness of God's children that made America great. And it's that same righteousness that keeps this country from being judged today. You'll find that in Proverbs 14 and 34. So we have the ability to preserve, to prolong, and to keep something that can be used for a long period of time. Salt has a preserving ability, and we should have that same preserving ability. Not only that, but salt has a penetrating ability. Salt will penetrate and infiltrate whatever it touches. It is an aggressive substance. The early church was had a penetrating ability. In Acts 8, 1 and 4, and Acts 17 and 6, I believe that we have been called by the Lord to be an active force in the world around us, to penetrate the world. The church should be like a militant army charging through the very gates of hell. We are to be a penetrating force in this world, not to be something that's just laid on top, but something that penetrates and gets down into the very core of this world. That way we become like salt when we have a penetrating ability. But not only that, salt has a purifying ability. Salt has remarkable cleansing ability. 2 Kings 2, 19 through 22. Elijah cleaned the waters of Jericho with salt. In ancient times, a newborn baby was washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and to give firmness to their skin. Salt in a womb can clean the womb and the womb area. Often Christians have a purifying effect on the world around them. We ought to behave differently than others in the world. We ought to have different concepts and different ideas than the world has. We ought to be different from everyone else. And we should not be offended when we get around others who stop talking when we come around. Just thank God that you have a purifying force in the world, purifying concept, and that when others see you, they know that there's a purifying substance in you. And when you speak those things. Every meat offering was to be made with salt, Leviticus 2 and 13. So it is in our lives. We are to offer our lives as an offering to the Lord, Romans 12, 1 and 2. When we do this, it proves that we are worth our salt. We must have a purifying effect in the world. There's so much dirtiness, so much uncleanliness in the world. This is why we are called the salt of the earth, because we are to be poured into the wounds of sin and sickness in this world, to wash it out, to clean it out, and to make it whole again. But not only that, salt has a pleasing ability. Salt has a way of bringing out the best. Salt blends and adds flavor to food. In fact, I've heard some people say they can't even eat certain foods without salt. So too, the Christians should flavor the world around them. As salt, we are to live our lives that we bring out the best of those who are around us. It is what Jesus did during his day, and he's still doing it now, to have a pleasing ability, to bring out the best in ourselves and to bring out the best in those who are around us. We are to have a pleasing ability, not rush to get angry, not rush to do things on a worldly basis, but have a pleasing ability to bring out the best and to blend well with the things that God has given us. Our flavor should infuse this world so that they will always know that the people of God are around them, and the people of God make things better around, just like salt makes some food better. We ought to have that flavor to make the world better because we have a pleasing ability. But listen to this. Salt also has a poisoning ability. A poisoning ability. You see, salt kills some things. I remember back in the day, they would pour salt on slugs. Slugs and salt don't mix. Salt poured on a lawn will kill the grass. Too much salt is not good for your blood pressure. Amalek, in Judges 9 and 45, took a city by storm with salt to prevent the ground from being used to grow crops. He killed the fields with salt. By the same token, when true Christianity is sold into the lives, the homes, and the communities of our world, some things will be put to death. There's some things that need to die, some things that we just need to get rid of. People can make an impact on our world by the very fact that Christians are pure poison to sin. When Jesus comes into our lives, there are certain characteristics that need to die. It should be poisoned, like cussing and fighting and drinking, drugs, hating, killing, loose living. Those things ought to die. That's what salt does to us. Kill those undesirable aspects of our lives and those undesirable aspects of our society and of our community. Some things need to die, beloved. Some things that are killing us. Some things that are causing us not to be able to walk in the light of God need to be extinguished. They need to be destroyed. They need to be taken out. Just like this man, Amalek, did in Judges. When he did it, of course, for another reason, but he poured salt all over the grounds of the city so that there could be no field, there could be no crops, nothing could grow in the soil that had salt in it. Well, same thing ought to happen in our society. When we pour salt into our communities and we pour salt into our society, then we get rid of some of this disgusting things that are going on in our society. Every time we pick up the paper, it looks like it's getting worse and worse. Yes, we are called to be the salt of the earth. And that part of it is to kill off some things that need to die. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. But salt has a promoting ability as well. See, salt creates a thirst for water in those who are exposed to it. As salt, the Christian has the wonderful opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus in the world. Remember what the Lord told us. He said that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. John 7, 37 and 38. When we live our Christian lives the way we should, when we take the call of Jesus seriously and live right, look right, act right, talk right, worship right, dress up right, treat each other right, treat ourselves right, treat the church right, treat the people of God right, then we have the ability to create a thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. How will they know about him if they cannot see it in us? How will they know about the goodness of God if we don't tell it? We ought to be the ones that create a thirst for Christ. They should come running to us to ask us questions about how to become saved, and how to become a child of God. When that happens, we can point men to Jesus and share them and give them the water of living life. We are to be the ones that cause this thirst for Christ. Sadly, most Christians do not promote thirst, but they promote ridicule instead. You see, too often we live a substandard, immoral life. And when the world see it, and they see us, they say, well, why should I be like them? Why should I want to be like them? They're just like everybody else. Fact is, they are often right. So let's live that we ever prove them wrong. Our lives must be above reproach if we are to create a thirst for God in the world around us. Salt has a promoting ability. Salt creates a thirst for the water. And I'm not just talking about running water. I'm talking about the living. Salt creates a thirst for that living water in their lives. And when people know that they have a thirst for Christ, we can lead them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must never give anyone cause to say, if that is a Christian, then I never want to be one. Instead, our lives ought to motivate people to say, that's what I want in my life too. When they look at us, they ought to say, I want to be just like them. Salt also has a proven ability. Salt changes everything it touches, food, etc. We are called to be thermostats and not thermometers in the world around us. We are to be the instruments that God can use to implement change in a wicked world. When genuine New Testament Christianity touches its sinful, wicked world, there will be changes of some kind in our society. We need to be sure that we are changing the world and not the world changing us. We must be a proven ability. The modern mentality we have is to be like the world, to win the world. And so often the church tries to be like the world in order to bring other folk in. But that's backwards, beloved. We cannot be like the world to bring other folk in. We have to be different from the world because we have a proven ability. Christianity has outlived many things. For over 2,000 years, the Church of God has stood strong. It's a proven ability. We don't have to sell the church. We don't have to make the church look better than it is. It is what it is. We don't have to blame the church. It is a proven ability. It has a track record. We can go back 2,000 years and see what the Church of God has done in the world. We have a resume that is proven, and we are to protect that resume. We must make the world understand that our way is a proven way, and when we move, we can be just like him. But there's a danger to avoid in the scripture. Salt was a very valuable commodity in the ancient world. So valuable, in fact, that the Roman legions were often paid their wages in salt. This payment was called the saltarium. It was the expression, not worth their salt, came from. When you weren't a good soldier, you weren't worth your salt. And that's why we say that today. It was a very valuable commodity in the world today. And so it is with us now. Salt is a very valuable commodity in the world. Ancient traders would travel across the earth with salt to trade for other merchandise. People would travel from the east to the west to bring salt because salt was such a valuable commodity. This faith that we have is a very valuable commodity. This belief, this faith, this understanding that we live, that we share, is a very valuable commodity. No price can be put on it. You can't even buy it. You have to be in it. It's a valuable commodity. And you are a valuable commodity to God. If you are a Christian that is living according to the will of the Lord, then you are a very valuable commodity. You're not like the others. There's some value in you. And you must always express that value everywhere you go and let the world know that you are a valuable commodity and that you are worth your salt. You see, it's possible for salt today to lose its flavor. The salt used then was for different from what we see today. The salt back in biblical days was a little coarser than it is today. A little finer or more purer than it is today. See, our salt is a chemical compound called sodium chloride. The salt used in the ancient world was either mined from the salt cliffs along the Red Sea, which were about 7 miles long and several hundred feet high, or it was evaporated from the waters of the Red Sea. Either way, always mixed with minerals or vegetable matter. Then this substance was exposed to the elements. When it was touched to the earth, sometimes the salt would lose its salty taste. Even the surface salt that was dug from the cliffs was discarded because it was exposed to the light, rendering it tasteless. So what they would do, they would scale off that first layer of salt, because that salt was no good. It had been exposed to the elements, to the wind and the rain and the sunlight. So they would scrape off that first layer of salt because it was no good. This tasteless salt also lost all the qualities that made it so valuable and sought after to begin with. You know, it's possible for Christians to lose their saltiness as well. This happens to us when we, just like in ancient times, come too close in contact with the world, when we get contaminated with the world, when we get to the point where the world has gotten in us so deep and so penetrated us so much that that salt is no more good. When we get to be more like the world than we are more like the Lord, then we have lost that thing that sets us apart and makes us valuable in the Lord's kingdom, and we can no longer do his work. Too often we allow our walls to get filled with junk. The event in Genesis 26, 15, and 18. When we allow our wells to be filled with the world's junk, then we are practically useless to the Lord and to his kingdom, a danger to avoid. In ancient times, when salt lost its savor, it was then taken out and cast into the footpaths. It was used much like gravel today. Its only purpose then was to kill off the weeds that might grow in the road, and for me to walk on salt pads to keep your sandals from getting muddy. Literally, it was just something to be trotted underfoot of man. It was used for no reason at all, just to keep the mud from collecting. Every Christian who understands this, when we lose our saltiness, we cease to function as salt in the world, then we too have become good for nothing. This is what is happening to the church today. We have no power. We cannot do the things that the church of God used to do because we are losing our saltiness. We're losing our flavor. And when we are gotten to the point where we have lost our savor, then we're good for nothing. This is why you find churches on every corner. This is why you find religions coming out of the woodwork, because it has lost its importance. It's not like it used to be. Used to be people would look forward all week long to go to the house of Lord, to the Lord, to worship, and to bring forth to the Lord all that he had given unto them. And now it just seems like something to do. We've turned the church into a social society. Some people look at the church as like a social club or fraternities or sororities or something that you just belong to. It has lost its function in the world. And when we do that, the church is no good. I remember back in the 60s when the church was on the forefront of civil rights. We were on the forefront of education. When we were on the forefront of keeping the family together. When we were on the forefront of creating communities that were healthy. Now the church is only concerned with getting money. Yes, I said it. The church is only concerned with building bigger churches and bigger congregations and bigger parking lots and having bigger programs and this one and that one and this having a position and that having a position and this denomination and that doctrine. And now the church has been so watered down that it's good for nothing but to be trotted under the foot of man. Sadly to say today, this is what happens when we become something to be trotted upon and treated with contempt. When we are living for the Lord, men may not like us, but there is often a certain aspect for the stand that we take and for the testimony that we possess. When we allow our testimony to become tainted by sin and by this world, then men and women will walk upon us. And our testimony will become absolutely useless to the Lord and to the vessel of his witness. I don't know about you today, beloved, but I don't want to end up being cast out as a vessel by the Lord. I would like for my life to be used for him. I would like for him to be able to use my life to bring others to him. I really would like to be a blessing and a light for the Lord. I believe that every child of God who's listening on this telecast tonight wants to be a salty Christian for the glory of God, not for your own self, but for the glory of God. You see, Paul knew that the potential always existed for him to be a castaway. Read 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. I see that potential in our lives as well. We all have the potential to be a castaway. We all have the potential of falling and slipping from the grace of God. We all have that potential in us. And I see that potential in the lives of those who are around us. But we don't want to be like that. As you consider your life this evening, as you consider the church, can you honestly say that your life is like salt in the world? Can you honestly say that your church is like a salt in the world? There is a tremendous need for every child of God to be all that God wants him to be in these last and evil days. We have seen enough falsehood. We have seen enough hypocrisy. We have seen enough weak living in this world to last us a lifetime. We need to be about the business of purifying this world. We need to be about the business of preserving the word of God. We need to be about the business of penetrating our society, penetrating our communities, penetrating our homes and our families, and being pleasing and promoting so that the Lord can use our lives and our testimony for his glory. God, help us to be salty Christians. This is our lesson tonight. that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, how can it be salty again? It cannot be salty again. Once you've lost your flavor, once you've lost your savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. These various names that are given to the children of God in the Bible are all great names. Those names like the sheep and brethren and little ones. All those names that God calls his children are great names. But I want you to understand why he called us the salt of the earth. He is reminding us that we have this opportunity and that we have a responsibility to be an influence in the world. We have that responsibility. We have that opportunity. When we possess these characters, we will be able to be a positive influence, and we can make a difference in the world around us today. We can start at home and then spread abroad. When we are living out the standards of the Lord in our lives, we will be like salt and make the world taste better. I'm going to open the lines tonight. There may be some who would like to speak on being salt on the lesson tonight. Perhaps you may have some other uses for salt. As I said before, salt has many, many uses. And I didn't want you to confuse the concept of salt that you put in your food with the salt that he's talking about being the salt of the earth. Because the salt of the earth has a redeeming quality, a valuable quality. And tonight I wanted to zero in on the idea of being called salt. Jesus makes these statements that need to be considered and understood by every child of God this evening. I hope that you will understand those characteristics that we talked about tonight. I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some tonight who would like to add something to the lesson or have something that they would like to say about the lesson. Okay, let's go to the lines. Area code 757, last four digits 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you all tonight? Yes, I enjoyed the lesson first, I like to say, and I do wholeheartedly agree that we as the church and our own person need to be in the character where those that see us would want to thirst and find out what it is that we have about us to draw them into the church as well. Mm-hmm. We should always carry ourselves in that manner as well as the church itself. You want to be in a church that's practicing, being true and not just out for the money or, you know, being a bigger church and, you know, that all of the things that you said, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 7443. 7443, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight?
Dr. Dosha,
I'm
doing great.
Good.
I'm great. I'm like her. I truly enjoyed the lesson. You know, we can always learn something else different. You might know something, but nobody knows everything. So you've added some things to my list, and I am so thankful and grateful for that. And like you said, the churches today is they doing the wrong thing. Not all churches, but there are a lot of have other
right.
things in their minds instead of worshiping Christ. So, you know, I do want to make a difference in my church and in my community, but, you know, and I keep thirsting for the word. No matter how much I receive or how much I read, I still thirst for even more. And not
mm-hmm.
just for myself, I want to be able to use my knowledge to help other people also, but I'm still thirsting. And even though the Lord has blessed me over and over and over again, I'm still thirsty.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. 2314.
This is Ms. Mangum. How's everybody doing?
Good evening, Ms. Mangum. How are you?
I'm good. I enjoyed the lesson tonight. I have just a few things here that we should let, like say, our light shine. That way we be like a testament to God so that others, they may come to know him. And there's many elements of a good worship service time, but the most important is a godly lifestyle. Untamed by the world. You know, and if the unbeliever's not flocking to the church to know more about God, it's because of two problems. Either we're not living or we're not telling them.
That's right.
Yeah, and when, like when you have a non-believer come by and after church you were talking to them, you know, that is good. But when you start, they said, like, whipping out your catalogs and start talking, you know, people turn, I said, silently sad then. Because they are looking for hope. You know, that's what they are looking for.
I understand. You're exactly right. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to come back with a question in just a minute. Area code 252. Last four digits, 1600. 1600. Are you on the line?
Yeah, hey, Pastor. How you doing?
Good evening, Mother Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got a lesson. I just want to jump and start running. I'm going to tell you, maybe I'm going another way that I was listening, what I was getting. Sometimes you say, Lord, why is this happening? I'm living the best I can. Lord, why is this happening? I'm doing, but you know what I got out of that? It is devil. He don't mess with nothing he ain't got. He always come at a Christian trying to break him down. He coming at you. That's that bad thought coming at you. Pastor, that would have come out here this whole month. That was good to me because I saw in the devil. He comes at what he don't have. If he got you, he ain't going to mess with you.
That's right.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I just saw so much in what you were saying. I saw so much with churches. I saw so much in my life. I seen so much in people that I just know is living right, but they're going through so much. The devil coming at them because he don't have them. And he's
absolutely
bad thought. He's some of that bad thought. If he ain't got you, he can't come in if Jesus holding me. I just got so much out of this. I got so much out of it.
Well, thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Dr. Doshi, I want to come back to you. In one of those characteristics that I spoke about with salt, I said that salt, sounds harsh, but I said that salt is a poisoning agent. When I said about that, that there are some things that need to die. There are some things in our society, in our lives, that need to die. And
yes,
we
sir.
Are the ones that are supposed to kill that stuff, like hatred, racism, drugs, those things that are plaguing our society. We have to be the ones that speak out about that and try to kill that stuff. What do you think about that?
That is so true. We have so much crime going on in this world today. People not holding people accountable for the things that they do. It all depends on who it is. If we look at this, all these murders and stuff and the trials that's going on now with such and such amount of white people, such and such amount of black people, and halfway unequal, you know, in a way that you look at it. And the thing is, you know, just like the vaccine, everybody have a choice whether they want to get it or not, you know. But, you know, people should not take it away just because they don't want it and think that it should be all turned out. And and like you said, you know, we got so many young people, some old now, but we got so many young people that just killing every day on the news. there are people being killed for nothing. Absolutely.
It's a whole lot.
And the
it's
thing is, they need to realize that God gave these people this life. You can't give something and take something that you didn't give. And you know,
right.
They shoot, and one time they busy talking about the police killing the black people. And yes, they were, and they still there. But you know, if you really look at it, black is killing black.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
Black is
mm-hmm.
killing black every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't even have to put that in. And our mm-hmm. churches, yes, we are lacking a lot of things, because why would you want to go somewhere where they're doing everything that the world is doing anyway? You might as well stay home.
Yeah, exactly.
Might as well stay home. And you know, and they're not teaching like they need to. They're not
mm-hmm.
teaching. It's like you say, it's getting to be a social club. You know, who wears the best hat, who wears the best shoes, or whatever it may be, instead of teaching the word of God. And that's what we need to hold on to, and we need to seal it in our heart. Because, you know, we need to be able to go out there and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Jesus have done something for every living soul.
Mm-hmm.
Some just don't
mm-hmm.
realize it, but he has done something. And we need to be out there telling people, testifying with the goodness of God, because he is truly worthy to be honored.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Dusha. Thank you so
much. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Miss Mangum, I want to come to you. Miss Mangum, I talked about the preserving ability of salt. Do you remember salt cured hams? You remember people that used to put salt
on
cured hams?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. Those shoulders, too.
Right. And what I was trying, the point that I was trying to get out with that particular part is, you know, we ought to be a preserver of the word of God. We have to keep the word of God alive. If nobody else is talking about God, we should be talking about God. If nobody else is talking about coming to him, living a holy life, we should be doing it. What do you think about that?
I agree with that. Exactly what you're saying. Because, you know, like, for instance, like most people, you know, they think of godly people as dull and having no fun. But as far as I know, people that are dull and having no fun, they're like sad and depressed people, you know. And most times when we look into the world, all we see is people are sad and depressed. They're bored. And a lot of them, they are lonely. And
yes,
they just
they are.
Need us. Some encouragement from Christians.
Salt also has a healing ability. You ever been told to gargle in salt and water to heal your throat, or to pour salt on something in order to clean it out? Salt is used to clean things out. We should be a force in this world to clean out stuff. There's a lot of sickness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dirtiness, a lot of hypocrisy in our world today. And the church and Christians ought to be the ones that are used to clean that stuff out. Just like Jesus cleaned out the temple when he went in and saw those money changers in there. Sometimes we got to turn over some tables. Sometimes we got to clean stuff out. Because if we allow it to sit there, it begins to fester and it becomes permeated into the system. And it is very hard to get out at that point. You have to clean it out while you can. I remember there was a thing a long time ago where if you had a stain on the carpet, you could use salt. And I think it was salt and club soda, that water, that fizzy water. And you would pour the salt on it and then pour that water on it and let it sit for a while. And it would take that stain out of that rug because it had that purifying effect. It would clean that dirtiness out of the carpet. And that is what Christianity is set to do. We ought to clean the society, to clean the dirtiness in our society, to clean it up before it becomes infused within generation after generation. And then it's too late to try to get it out because it's all soaked in and you can't get it out at that point. But I think one of the things that we must always remember is that we have the opportunity and we have the ability to do great work in the Lord's world today. And we can't do that if we're going to be like the world. We can't do anything if we're going to be just like the world. We have to be different. We have to have a more positive influence. We must have a better understanding of the word of God. We must have a better outlook on life in order for us to change the world around us. It does us no good to sit back and run home and close our blinds and say, ain't it a shame what's going on in this world? Well, it ain't gonna never get fixed if somebody don't fix it. And we can't wait for the government to fix it because they sick too. So they can't fix nothing. The sick can't fix the sick. It's only the well folks that can fix the sick. And we have been called on by God himself to make a change and to clean this world up. I thank all of y'all for being on the line tonight. I pray that you will continue to study and continue to search the word of God to find influence for your life. Does anyone else have anything that they would like to say before we go on? Well, if not, Dr. Dosha, would you pray for us?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we'll come before you. Humbly, as we know how. Father God, thanking you for the word tonight, Father God. We are so thirsty, so hungry for your word. And Father God, you have sent us someone that can, and we will be able to ingest it and be able to use it. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for what all you are doing in our lives. I thank you for all the ones that was on the phone, for Facebook, wherever they may be, because this world is a dying world, and we need the Lord in our lives, and everybody needs to realize that and to be able to do what needs to be done. So, Father God, I ask that you will continue to use us, continue to open up our ears and our eyes so that we may be able to understand what you're trying to do and be able to do it, Father God. So, Father God, we just thank you for our pastor tonight, Father God. We ask that you continue to anoint him in the words so that he may be able to explain it, that even the smallest child will be able to understand what the Lord is talking about. This is my prayer. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, thank all of you tonight. Don't forget to tell somebody about Bible study every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. We are so glad that you have joined us tonight. Don't forget Sunday morning, 10 a.m. live in the sanctuary at First Baptist. God bless you and have a great, great night. God bless you.
Amen.
Take care.
Amen.
Good night. God bless you.
Amen.
Have a great night, everyone.
He said he wouldn't.